You heard the earlier passage from Genesis about Abram becoming Abraham and being promised that his children would be part of God's promise for all people. So we hear the next part of that story, the birth of the child to Abraham and Sarah. It's found in Genesis chapter 21. Listen for the word of God today. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said. The Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham named the son Isaac, whom Sarah bore him. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And Sarah said, "Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When did you last rearrange the furniture in your house? Now, some people really like to move their furniture around a lot. But most people, if we're honest, we tend to decorate our homes a certain way, and then it stays that way for quite a while. Now, sometimes you buy a new recliner, you buy a couch, you have to shift some furniture pieces around. But it's also true for many of us that once you've moved into a house and lived there for 10 or 20 or 30 years, frankly, the rooms haven't probably been redecorated very often. We are all creatures of habit, and we're not big fans of change. That's true of our living space, but it's also true of our spiritual space. But the God we serve loves to rearrange things. God loves to tap you on the shoulder and then smile and say, "Guess who's having a baby?" The birth of Isaac was briefly described there in those first few verses of Genesis 21. The problem is that when we hear that passage, we fixate on the baby part, and we miss the powerful message that's contained around the birth announcement. Now, that's understandable. As human beings, anytime we're in a crowd where there's a baby, our eyes can't help but be drawn right to it. We see a parent pushing a stroller, and our eyes go straight down to see the little boy or girl inside. Or we're behind someone in the checkout line who's wearing one of those carriers, and we don't even see the parent. We're so anxious to see the wispy hair and the pudgy cheeks and the round legs dangling out from the baby carrier. So I need to cut to the chase here for this story. The baby born to Abraham and Sarah was a real baby. But for us 3,000 years later, the baby, honestly, is mostly a metaphor. Now, I could spin out for you a long sermon on how God works miracles in lives, such as causing an elderly couple to finally procreate. Or, through the sermon, I could wrongly reinforce society's bias that says a woman's worth is somehow linked to having a baby. Today I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to talk about miracles. And as happy as we were to baptize the two infants this morning, I'm not going to suggest that you find favor in God's eyes simply through bearing a child. We are all loved by God, whether young or old, whether male or female, whether gay or straight, whether single or partnered, whether parents or non-parents. So I'll say it again. The birth of Isaac is mostly a metaphor, but it's one that applies to every one of us today. So first way, we need to ask ourselves, where does faith reside in you? Physically, where does faith bodily located within your being? Some people will say faith is up here. It's in your brain. It's part of how we understand and think about the world that God has made and Christ has redeemed. It's part of how we understand things. Other people will say, no, faith is actually here. It's in your heart. It's when you're moved to acts of compassion and showing love to others. Well, the ancient Hebrews that wrote the book of Genesis, for them, faith was located actually lower in the body. Faith was something deep within you. It was something in your gut, which instinctively shapes all your actions and all your decisions. Now, to that perspective, I want you to add in the story of Sarah and expand the body zone in which faith exists. I need you to think of faith as something that's in your gut, but also in your whole pelvic region, literally in your womb. Faith is not just about having a gut instinct that I should do this or do that, I should care for others or stand up for justice. Faith is literally about giving birth to new things that arise from where God moves us in our guts. It's more than an idea in your brain. Faith is more than compassion in your heart. It's something deep within you, within us, that stirs and convicts us and literally gives birth to things that are just and righteous and true. Now, since we're so close to the 4th of July, I want to give two quick examples of this gut and womb type faith as it relates to our own nation's history. The Declaration of Independence in 1776 was first published as a broadsheet by a publisher in Philadelphia, but it was done so without the names of the signatories on the bottom. They decided that they needed to reprint it. And so in January 1777, they entrusted a redistribution of the Declaration of Independence, this time with all the signatories, to a woman printer named Mary Catherine Goddard, outside of Baltimore. For the first time, Americans and British learned who had signed the Declaration of Independence. Mary Goddard, in many ways, a forgotten yet a true American hero, because she risked her life and literally could be charged with treason for the act of printing up the broadsides of the American Declaration of Independence. Her courage actually helped give birth to the nation. Number two, during the War of 1812, the British Army was advancing on Washington, D.C., with the sole intent of burning down the entire city. A quick-thinking government clerk, a young man named Stephen Pleasanton, managed to sneak into the federal buildings and grab all of our nation's essential documents, including the Declaration of Independence, and he hid them in a hay wagon and got them across a bridge into a grist mill in Northern Virginia. One brave man defied an entire advancing enemy army and successfully protected our nation's founding documents, like a father whisking a young infant to safety. Faith doesn't reside in your head. Faith doesn't reside in your heart. It's our gut instincts and, more importantly, what they give birth to. Now, we're going to return to the Abraham and Sarah story. We're going to focus on that detail about their advanced age. But first, another true story. A hospital aide one day went into a room to talk with a woman patient who was sitting over reading a book. And as they were sharing, she mentioned to him that tomorrow was her birthday and she was going to turn 94 years old. And the young man said to her, "Well, what's the best part of being 94 years young?" And without hesitancy, she said, "No peer pressure." Abraham and Sarah in the biblical narrative were old enough to not have peer pressure anymore. As the story is told to us, they were set in their domestic routines. And I'd wager they were also set in their spiritual routines as well. They had a tent where they spent their days. They had faith in God, whom they worshiped through rituals and weekly Sabbath prayer. But suddenly God tapped this elderly couple on the shoulder, and they said, "Sarah, you're going to need some new robes to cover a pregnant belly. Abraham, you're going to have to find room in your tent for a cradle, and both of you are going to have to start tracking down some swaddling clothes and diapers." God, in that intervention, rearranged their world. Now, when they heard this news, both Sarah and Abraham laughed. They laughed in surprise, they laughed in disbelief, and they laughed nervously, imagining how this baby thing was going to fit into their settled life. They shook their heads and basically said, "No, we're too old for this. We're too settled for this. We've got all of our furniture arranged. We've got our life all arranged. We don't have space to give birth to a new baby in our life." That's why you need to hear the opening line from that story in Genesis 21 again. The story begins by saying, "The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said. The Lord did for Sarah as he had promised." Faith in God is not a head thing, an idea you can think about or not think about. Faith in God is not a heart thing where you might be moved to compassion or you might find your heart growing cold towards someone else and their need. Faith in God is a gut thing. It's an intestinal thing that moves within us with a force of its own. And in truth, it's a pelvic thing. It's a womb thing that takes over and emerges out of us like a child we give birth to. Now, like Abraham and Sarah, we too may respond, "Sorry, God, my life is too settled. The furniture is arranged just fine. I don't like change. I've given up hope for anything to be born in my barren existence, my quiet routine, my limited horizon. And I don't want to think about this right now." But that's why the birth announcement in Genesis 21 is surrounded by words of comfort. The Lord did for Sarah as God had promised. Life isn't about us. It's not about our schedules. It's not about our furniture. It's not about our routines. It's not about our fears and our doubts. It's about God. Sorry. And then verse 6. Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." Not laugh at me, but laugh with me. God did as promised. God brought laughter, and Sarah in her old age gave birth. So last question. What is gestating in you right now? God has promised to deal with each one of you. God wants something to be birthed by you. What does your gut say that is? Is the furniture of your life nice and boring, but it needs to be rearranged? Is the furniture of life worn and broken down and depressing, and it needs to be replaced? Are your days shaped by financial debt, by anxiety and worry? Do you feel pushed to the margins of life like an elderly woman forgotten in a nursing home room? God wants you to give birth to a life, whether your own or someone else's, that you might do justice or change or bring hope into the world. So I need you to imagine what it is, with God's help, that you might do that would provoke you and everyone around you to laughter. I need you to seriously imagine, and maybe just close your eyes for a second, and imagine what God wants to give birth through you. The good news of our faith is this: the best parts of this life cannot emerge through flesh and blood alone. The best parts need God, the God who does as God promises. That's why Christ came into the world as a child, to unsettle nations and rearrange kings' lives and force us to see in that child the eternal God and Savior of the world. That's why God still comes to us as a child, to unsettle us and challenge us and force us to look at everything with new eyes. And God does that for women and for men, for young and old, and yes, the very old. For all of them and us, today is your day, and this Sarah story is your story as well. So happy birthday to you for what God is about to give birth through you. I can't wait to see the baby pictures. Amen.
Amen.